Start off with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank and praise you for the day now that you've given to us. I thank you, Father, for just everything that you've done for us this past week. Thank you, Father, for giving each one of us the breath of life today, Lord, that we could be here to hear your word and to learn about you and to want to know more about you, Father. And, Lord, that's why we're here today, Father, to learn more about you and just to learn some of the things maybe that you're going to be doing there in heaven. I don't know. I'm not positive on that, Father. But, Lord, the message to follow, we just ask that it would be something there, Father, that we can learn about you. And Lord, if someone comes that's not saved, they would get saved today also. Lord, now you know we need your help. We need you to help us. We need your spirit to take full control. We need you to guide and direct us this day. We just ask, Father, that you would just help us. We need your help. We're dependent upon you. We trust you. We know you know what's right for us and what's wrong for us. And we just ask, Father, that you would just teach us even that today. Help us now, Father, as we're going over here, Father, as the husbands of the home, and that we can be the husbands that we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trying to pick out something here to read to you. I have so many things. I didn't get a chance to look at it. They're doing everything else, but I guess I'll read this one to you. Rules for a happy marriage. Never both be angry at the same time. Never yell at each other unless the house is on fire. If one of you has to win an argument, let it be your mate. If you have to criticize, do it lovingly. Never bring up mistakes of the past. Neglect the whole world rather than each other. Never go to sleep with an argument unsettled. You know, I heard a lot of people talk about that, and that is true. You know, I have done that already, but don't do it. At least once every day, try to say one kind or complimentary thing to your life's partner. When you have done something wrong, be ready to admit and ask forgiveness. And that same way goes with the children, too. Teaching your children. If you've done something wrong with your children, ask forgiveness with them. Don't let the pride take over. And the last thing here is, it takes two to make a quarrel, and the one in the wrong is the one who does the most talking. Okay. We're talking here about, or we're going over today, the things here, the qualifications for a good leader in the home. And we're taking that, as I've been telling you, from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the ones that we've gone over so far that makes a good leader, he must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. Let me see. He must be vigilant. He must be sober. He must be of good behavior. He must be given to hospitality. He must be apt to teach. He must not be given to wine. And this brings us to the one here today. The next one here is, he must be no striker. What do you think that means? No striker. The Bible says that. What's that?
A lousy bowler.
A lousy bowler. Yeah, I didn't think of that one. Somebody want to hit that? Try to hit that. See what you think that is. Ben.
I think it's a man who always has a bone to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Always trying to pick a fight.
Yep. The one here we're going to be going over is not a brawler, but he's not to be somebody like that. He's not to be physically violent. He's not to have a chip on his shoulder. Running around with a chip on his shoulder at all the times. Things like that there. Let me see here. Pastor Romans 12:18. Let me see. Corby. I'm going to have you go here. Wait a second. I have him up here. 1 Kings 22:24. Nathan, Nehemiah 13:25. Van, Isaiah 58:4. Danny, Acts 23:2. And I'll go to this last one down here. Okay, so he must not be physically violent. He doesn't be someone that's violent. You know, there is a lot of men in the homes today that are physically violent, and they think that that's the way that you rule a house. And a lot of times, well, it can be either or. I shouldn't even say that. I was going to say that a lot of times it's someone that's not a Christian, but Christians do the same thing. And it's not right. It's not right that you are physically violent all the time or something like that there. You know, you shouldn't even be thinking about it or anything like that there, you know. Yes, you get upset. If you get upset, walk away from it. Get away from it. That's the best advice I can give you. I mean, if your wife's getting on your nerves, get away from her for a little bit. You know, don't stand there and continually brawl back and forth with one another. It's no good. The kids see that, and that's no good. They're going to do the same thing someday. So don't do it. You know, don't do it. There's lots of things going through my mind right now that I know. One time my wife and I, we were going to church. Going to church. Now, I know this doesn't happen to nobody else but her and I. As you're going to church, you're having a little argument, you know. And one time it was getting pretty hot, and I was getting hotter and hotter as it was. So we turned around and we went home because I said there's no sense of us even going to church because of it, because we were arguing. You know, got to get away from it, got to cool down, and then you got to make things right about it, you know. You don't need to be a striker. You don't have to be violent or anything like that. There's only one time that I know in my marriage so far that, and I'm going to tell, I wanted to hit my wife one time, and I just left. It was close. I don't believe in that. That's something that I always, since a kid up, I don't believe in that. You better not, you know. Better, don't even tell me that you ever did that, because you and I are going to have a talk about that. You know, I don't like that. You don't hit a woman, you know. So, you know, that. But like I say, you just walk away from it. You get away from it. You stay away from it. You know, it's one of them things. Romans 12:18.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Live peaceably with all men. And when I'm talking about a striker here, too, he talks about it's hand and tongue. It's both hand or tongue. It can be either, you know. You can be violent with your tongue. You don't have to be physically violent. You can be violent with your tongue. And you need not to do that. I skipped one here. Let me go back and get this one here. There's some teachers that pretend to be a holy zeal, and they just think that, you know, that they know it all and they're the ones and that's it. Let me see. 2 Corinthians 11:20. 2 Corinthians 11:20. For if ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smites you on the face. See, that's someone that is both violent, if you want to call it, with tongue and hand, if you want to say that. You know, he's a striker. This guy here is a striker. And that's what Paul here was telling the Corinthians at this particular time, some of the things there that was going on, and he told them not to do that. Don't be a brawler or a fighter. 1 Kings 22:24. Read that next verse.
And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself.
See, Micaiah knew what was going to happen. The king told that other guy there to smite him on the face. And he says, which way did the spirit go? Same thing as they did to Jesus. They smote Jesus, you know. Same thing happened to him. And, you know, they're just somebody that thinks that they're there. They have obtained. They can do it all, you know, and that gives them the right to do that. Nehemiah 13:25.
And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves.
See, there he was talking. Nehemiah was telling the Jews they were intermingling with the Ammonites and another group there, and they were marrying, And he said, don't be giving your daughters to these different ones, and don't be giving your sons to these different ones. You know, he wanted them to stay in the Jewish group. And there's a time where you can be, if you want to call it a striker or whatever, stand up for the Lord. If somebody's cutting your God down, stand up for it. You can do that. There's nothing the matter with that. Stand up. And that's what Nehemiah was doing there. He was standing up for the Lord. Go ahead. That was Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 25. Isaiah 58, 4. Acts 23:2. There was Paul, and Paul was there, you know, and he just told him, smite him on the mouth. Read that next verse, see what Paul says. See, that was the high priest. Paul was very slick there. If you continue to read there, you're going to see where he realizes, you know, he's telling them that he was given the word of God there, and tell them, you know, that you're not supposed to go against a priest, the high priest. But he wasn't considering him as a high priest. And then he knew there was Pharisees and Sadducees in there. And Paul, where he was slick about it was, he says, I'm a Pharisee. You know, of the Pharisees, you know. And when he did that, then the Sadducees and the Pharisees got an argument going on with one another, and the high priest forgot everything about Paul. Paul was pretty slick there at that, you know. By doing that, you know, he changed the whole attitude there of that by doing what he did there. Let me see. And then 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So see, you don't need to be a striker. You don't need to be a striker at home or anything like that. There was, I'm not positive when this was. It was when the things were really going on with the Protestants, but there was a bishop. His name was Bonner. And when he was examining these Protestants, these poor Protestants at that time, he termed them as heretics. First of all, he does something like this. He wished them, and when they worsted them by them in an argument, he was used to smite them with his fist and sometimes scourge them and whip them. Now, can you imagine? That's a man, they called him a bishop. And you know, there's some religions out here that teach that they're the only ones that, you know, like the pastor up here, he's the only one. He's the only one that can teach you. And if you don't listen to what he says, this is what they do. They smite them, they scourge them, and everything else. So, you know, don't be a striker at home, gentlemen. You know, don't do these kind of things. It's just one of them things, the qualification. You know, what you are is what your kids are going to be. A lot of you asked, you know, we're asking questions about children, and we're going to get into the children later on, but when we do, this is just one of the things I'm going to be bringing up, you know. What you are, they're going to be too. So, you know, what you want them to be, if you want them to pass it on from generation to generation, you know, be what's right and what's wrong. Questions or comments on that? Okay, let's go with the next one here. It says, he must not be greedy of filthy lucre. He must not be greedy. Let's see, where did I let off? Chad, you next. Chad, Proverbs 1:19. Let's see. Well, let me come to the front here. Nate, go to Proverbs 15:27. Ben, Isaiah 56:11. And Gary, would you go to Jude 1:11? Not greedy of filthy lucre. Proverbs 1:19.
Greedy of gain.
He's someone that's not filthy lucre. They're not fond of dishonest gain. They're not desirous of base gain either. You know, that's someone that has all that they could ever want, yet they're not satisfied. They want more. They're greedy. Someone that is greedy. Proverbs 15:27.
He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live.
See, he that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house. That's something to keep in mind, gentlemen, you know, teaching your children. Isaiah 56:11. Why do you think this country is the way it is today? You think about it. You think about this country, what it is today. You think about it. It's all wrapped around money. Oil companies. Oil companies are the ones that started this all, as far as I care. And they're just greedy of gain. They can make billions in a quarter and still not have enough. And they're doing it. They're making it. And then people wonder why, you know. Wonder why? Get your oil tank filled or whatever. Go get your gas tank filled. You know, you see, it's nuts. It's crazy. Where it used to cost you $2 to fill your gas tank, how much it costs you now? Some of your gas tanks it costs you $100. 103. See, I was close. yeah. So you know, there you go. And it's all pushed down on you, the working person. You know, your government, they don't care. They're not working. They're supposed to be, but they're not doing nothing. They're just gathering your money in. Oil companies, that's all they're doing is gathering your money in. You're the one that's out here busting your back, taking care of them. Greedy of gain. Jude 1:11. Someone that's just greedy of gain, okay? And a filthy lucre now here he's talking about, and this is someone that's not covetous. And covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3:5, Ron. And Keith, would you go to 1 Timothy 6:10? Covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. And 1 Timothy 6:10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
I'm not saying that it's not good for a Christian to have money or anything like that there, but be careful if you do. Because you're not going to trust the Lord, first of all. You're going to trust in your money. And, okay, go ahead, Keith. Not if he's doing it right, you know, the right thing with it, I would say, you know, instead of, you know, and that's what, and a successful businessman will continually to invest to keep, you know, they call it, Van, don't they call it something like keeping your cash flow going? You got to keep it going. Isn't it something like that there? I think I've heard that already. I know you know more about money than anybody around here. I mean, managing and stuff. But yeah, you got to manage it. A successful person has to manage it. So, I'm talking about managing money. I'm not saying that he's a rich person or anything like that there. Everybody's looking at him and laughing and stuff. But he's very intelligent. On if you need to ask somebody for about money situations and stuff, ask Van. He knows it. You know? I don't have nothing against asking somebody like that. Go ahead, Ben.
I think it's more, it's not how much money you have. It's more your attitude towards your money and God's versus yours.
Well, that's what my next thing's going to be here coming up. Go ahead, Ben. Yeah.
Filthy lucre to me is when you're cheating on your income tax, or you know, and keeping cash, and when you're you know what I'm saying, when people give it to you and that kind of thing, and also then you know ripping people off or just being just a smidge dishonest on a deal or something.
Well, he says here, you know, he puts the two words together: greedy of filthy lucre. You know, that's just what you're talking about. Somebody there that's greedy of it. You know, if he can take advantage of you, they will take advantage of you. You know, greedy for themselves. You know, all they're looking at is themselves. They're not looking at, hey, everything that you got that just was saying there belongs to the Lord. I don't care what. If you don't want to believe that, don't believe it. But it belongs to the Lord. He gave it to you. I don't care if it's a. I don't care what you have. I don't care if you have a car. I don't care if you have a boat. I don't care if you have a camper. I don't care what you have. God gave it to you. He blessed you with it. It belongs to Him. And if you have that attitude that it belongs to Him, I think that's the right attitude to have. But if you think that, oh, I've just busted my tail for this, guess what? God gave you that job so that you could bust your tail for it. And just as easy as He gives it to you, He can take it away. You have a couple right here that lost everything in a house fire. He can take it away just like that, you see. But they've been blessed ever since, though, too. But you see, the thing is, that's what I'm saying. It can be taken from you. So don't ever have the attitude that it doesn't belong to God. Go ahead, Pastor.
I think the point Keith is trying to make here or asking about is what makes the lucre filthy. And that would be the idea that it's a ill-gotten money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wrong purposes, wrong motives, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
But, you know, it's not money that's evil, it's the love of money that's really evil.
Right. Yeah, it's not, right, it's not the money, exactly. That's right. Ron.
Well, something else that's come to my mind, too. You could legitimately make money and have your money, but if you have responsibilities to your family, friends, to whoever, just obligations that you've taken on, and you don't take this and meet those obligations, in my mind, that becomes filthy lucre. You're not using it for what you're supposed to be using it for. You're keeping it instead of meeting your responsibilities, especially to your family.
Yeah, and looking at it, at your family too, you know, you have a lot of guys, and I'm not saying that any of you guys do this, but you have a lot of people that out here, you know, they work, but you know, every night they got to stop at the bar, you know, they got to stop every morning, you know, and get some chew or cigarettes or something like that. They're taking away from their family, just what you're saying there. They are taking away from the family, you know. They're out here, that's the dumb part. There's guys out here. I work with guys that, you know, they gotta work all the time. They have to work. And one guy said, yeah, what you gotta support your habit, don't you? I said, drinking. I said, you gotta work just to drink. I said, you know, stop your drinking, then you won't have to work. You know, but he has to do them kind of things. You know, that's just it. It's filthy lucre, I believe. You know. Things like that, taking it away from your family and stuff. Well, I've got five things here to avoid this trap here. Let me see. Phil, Malachi 3:8, Pastor, 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7, Corby, Psalm 37:21, Nathan, Acts 20, 35. Van, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10. Danny, Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. Chad, Matthew 6, 33. And Nate, Philippians 4, 19. Okay, to avoid this trap, I got five things here that to avoid this trap here. And here's the first one. And the pastor didn't tell me to say this or anything like that, but pay your tithes and give your offerings. You know, pay your tithes and give your offerings. Malachi 3:8.
Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You say, wherein have ye robbed me? In tithes and offerings.
Okay. You know, and if you, you listen on the radio, there's a program that comes on, I think, close to lunchtime of monies and stuff. And there's many people, Christian people, that call in there and say, you know, asking about, you know, questioning about paying their tithes, you know, since they got themselves in a hole and they want to know if it's the right thing, you know, to skip paying the tithes. And what do you think about that, since I brought that up? Should you do that, Nate?
I think in the Old Testament, God showed that the first fruits go to Him. And the first fruits of everything you earn go to Him. I mean, if you're in debt and you think you're going to get away with not giving God His share, you're in trouble.
He's going to get it, isn't he? Did you have your hand up? Okay.
You're living above your means. No, you just got it. You can't tithe, why then you got it. You got to sell something.
You know, that's some of the advice that them, some of them guys give, too. You know, you're living above your means, and you need to do something about it, he tells them. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7.
Before I read this, for the New Testament Christian, the approach is not that God owns 10%, but God owns it all. And by giving Him whatever percentage, and this is what this passage addresses, you know, I don't think we're demanded 10%. I think it's up to our own decision what we should do. But by doing that, whatever it is we choose to do between us and God is our honoring Him with what we're giving Him.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is all tempered by this. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his own in his heart, so let him give. Let me read that one again. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth.
And that's right, you know, it's not the 10%, you know, in the New Testament. You know, it's what the Lord lays upon your heart. If He lays a dollar on your heart, then you better give it. If He lays $100 on your heart, then you better give it, you know. That's just one of them things. And gentlemen, the reason I have this in here is because you need to teach your children to give. If they have a job, if they get any kind of money at home or anything like that, then teach them to give. Teach them to give cheerfully. You know, you need to teach them to give. I see some of you parents doing it right now. I see some of you parents have your children. You give them some money and they put it in the offering plate. You are teaching them. That's something you're doing. You're teaching them to give. You know, even if it's a penny, it doesn't matter. You're teaching them to give. That's the purpose of it. Paying your tithes and offerings, you know, teaching them to give. And that's something that you should do. They need to watch you do it. They need to do it themselves. If you want to teach children, there's a thing that you can do, that you can teach them. Okay, the next thing here is that I have down is pay your bills on time. Psalm 37:21. You know, it's good we don't live in the Old Testament times. Because you know every 7 years, if you had money borrowed, it had to be paid for. That's how it was, yes. Everything was taken care of.
I thought that the debtor had to release it from the debt.
Well, he did, but it should have been paid for. You know, this is another thing that I learned on this here. Listen to these guys talking. Yeah, that's why they tell them, you know, be careful what you're borrowing, you know, because of paying it back. Because if we lived in that particular time, that's when you would have to every 7 years you were released, you know, or you had to get it paid back, you know, to them and stuff. But you know, pay your bills on time, you know. That makes everything good for you, you know, and, you know, you're teaching your children also, you know, the same thing. You know, pay your things on time, you know, make sure that you have a time that you're supposed to pay the stuff, then do it. A lot of people, you know, credit cards can get people more in problems than anything there is out here. If I use my credit card, when that bill comes, it's paid for. I do not. Don't pay payments on credit cards. That is the dumbest thing that you can do. Look at the interest rate on it. Check it out. And then you can see. And then you want to talk about how you can get behind on your bills? Just keep adding to that credit card and just paying that small payment all the time. And what you put down on the principal means nothing because it's all interest money that you're putting down on. And look at, I mean, yes, I have nothing against anybody going out here and borrowing money to build a house or anything like that. But your first 5 years, look how much goes on to the principal. Maybe the first 10 years, look how much goes on to the principal. If it's all any way possible, always add more money to your payment. And have it put on the principal instead of interest, okay? It's just wiser to do that. My wife and I always put extra money on if we borrow any kind of money. And it goes on to the principal. Now, do the banks and do these loan companies like that? No, because they want that interest money. But if you look at that interest, you know, and add that up within the period of time, say you borrow money for 30 years, look what that place cost you, or look what whatever it was that you borrowed for cost you in that 30 years. It's terrible. I mean, it's at least double, if not triple sometimes, the money that you borrowed. So that's why I say, that's why these banks and stuff love that. So that's why I say be wise about it. Add money to the principal. Even if it's just, say, $25, $50, you can't believe how that adds up after a while. So it does. So, you know, just it helps you to pay your bills on time and stuff, you know. Just do that. That's just one of the things to do. Next one here is, be generous. That somebody mentioned that just a little bit ago. Be generous. Acts 20:35.
I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
It's more blessed to give than to receive. Be generous with God. Be generous with your wife. Be generous with your children. Be generous with the needy. You know, be generous. You know, be generous with your money. I tell you one thing. I am glad that I go to a church that is generous. Whether you want to believe it or whether you don't want to believe it. I see what monies come in here. I see what monies go out. And it's just what they have written down here. But I see if there's something put back here for anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. There's always money given generously. Generously. It's very, and that's good. That's good, you know. That's very good. There's churches around that you wouldn't have that. No way, no way. You know, that's that greedy, filthy lucre they think of. That's all our money. That doesn't belong to somebody else. You know, if a speaker comes in, you know, they'll just give them so much out of it, and you know. And I won't say it. I just thought of something there that, forget it. But anyhow, you know, just be generous with your money. The next thing here is work hard. 2 Thessalonians 3:10.
For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, and if any would not work, neither should eat.
We went over that when we were going through Thessalonians. Paul said that, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, that's our society today. That's our government today. You know, hand it out. I want it freely. Hand it out to me. You know, give it to me, government. You know, so that I can eat, but I don't want to work for it. You know, just be honest and be, you know, and work. When you're out there, when you're working, even if you're upset at your job or anything, just think that you're working for the Lord. Just think that. You keep that in the back of your mind at all the times. I'm working for the Lord, no matter what, if whoever's trying to play games with me or whatever. Proverbs 6:6-11. Now listen to this. You know this. You've read this. You've heard this already. But just listen to it as it's read to you.
Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. If having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man.
Have you ever watched an ant? They were always fascinating to me as a kid. Back in my grandfather's land, back there where the cabin and stuff is, but up in the other fields there, there used to be, and there probably still is, I haven't seen there for a while, I've been there for a while, but there used to be ant hills, and they were them little red ants. Now, you know what them little red ants can do, but if they get on you, they like to bite you. But anyhow, I used to watch them little red ants and them pals, you know. And it's neat to see an ant that is so tiny can carry something so much bigger than its own body. And God says, go to that ant and watch. Consider its ways. And it's always working, always out there, gathering food, taking it into that anthill, getting ready for wintertime so that it has something to eat in the wintertime, you know. But yet you have people out here that just, you know, hand it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I don't want to work for it, you know. They need to go to that ant, you know. This government needs to take them verses there and start realizing, you know, stop handing it out and getting and finding work for these people. And what else gets my goat is some of these people that don't have jobs, that want jobs, that are looking for jobs, they just, you know, oh, I can't go to McDonald's and work. I was getting $20 an hour. I have to have a job that's $20 an hour. Oh, do you? Oh, do you? Just what you were saying there. Living by your means. You know, you learn. If you don't have a job, there's jobs out here for a lot of these people, but they just don't want to take them. They just don't want to do it, you know. They don't want to work for what's given to them. And the last thing here is trust God. Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
And Philippians 4:19. Trust God. Trust God for that work. Trust God for that job. Trust God. You know, he provides it for you. Take advantage of it then. You know, he provides the work for you. He provides everything that he provides for you. Take advantage of it. Trust him. Trust him. Keith and his wife are going to be moving. He's trusting God to give him a job. He decided that he has to move to get a job. You know, respect somebody like that. You know, you hate to see them leave. You hate to see them move like that. But God supplied this job for him now. Should he just, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. No, he's somebody that wants to work and he has to move, you know, his family and everything just to do that. Trust God. That's what he wants us to do. Questions or comments on them? I got to stop there. Okay, Lord, we thank and praise you now for this time. We thank you, Father, for some of the qualifications here that you're showing us here, Lord, to be a leader in our homes. We just ask, Lord, that we could take these things and apply them to our hearts, apply them to our lives, and just so that we can teach, that we're apt to teach our children the different aspects of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.